Thank you for that, Pastor Ledbetter. Most of it was true. just from everybody here, if you're from Ballincollig Bible Baptist Church, we do want to thank you for your ministry of Men's Retreat and Victory Youth Camp. I know it takes a lot, and I know it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of time. And yous are the ones that get here early. Yous are the ones that are staying here late. Yous are the ones mainly in the kitchen cooking. I know there's a couple of blow-ins, Willie and you, Daly, and stuff. But the main group is from Ballincollig, and if yous didn't put the effort in, none of us would be here. And it's gone 19 years now, so well done for the effort. It's really appreciated from all of us here. Alright, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis. And just keep the book of Genesis open, because we'll be there for most of the time, or all of the time, depending on how much time this all takes. The verse that I was given, I was asked to speak on Lot's choices, and the verse is Romans 13, 14. We've already looked at it, you've already said it tonight. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, the Bible says. Now, the problem is, you as a man, if you don't put on Jesus, you're going to put something else on automatically. You already have something on. And you need to replace what's on your life, what's in your life, what's in your flesh. You need to replace that with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I was asked to speak on Lot, I've preached on Lot lots of times. So I wanted to look at the story from a different point of view, in a sense. And maybe you'll agree with some of the points, maybe you won't agree with some of the points. If you don't agree with something I say, don't just stick on that point in your mind. Park the bus and talk to me about it later on, okay? But don't just get stuck on something I say and then park the bus there. See past it and get back to me. Or maybe you'll agree or see where I'm coming from with all the points. And for you pastors that are here, you are already nervous now, aren't you? I'm already thinking, should I get my people to leave now, or will I keep them here? You can keep them, it won't be too bad. So let's open in prayer, and then we'll get into the Bible. We look at Lot's choices tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a people, us as a bunch of men from different places and different churches to come together tonight in the unity, Lord, that we would come and that we would be under your word, that we would be under the teaching of the Holy Spirit tonight. Holy Spirit, would you work in men's lives tonight, that you would teach them something new tonight? I pray, Lord, that you would help me to preach. Lord, that you would supernaturally help everybody to listen. I pray that minds would be focused upon why they came to Men's Retreat. I pray that our minds wouldn't wander onto different things, but our minds would be here in the room, in the message, engaged and expecting you to speak to us, I pray. Use your word tonight greatly, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so, you know, when you're looking at the Bible, understand, if I was writing about my staff, I would write all good stuff and I would never write anything bad. But when God was writing about his staff and his men, he put everything in and he didn't hold anything back. And that's really helpful for us to know, because there has been the odd time where I haven't done something right. Just the odd time, it hasn't been that many times. But we fail all the time. On a weekly basis, there is things in my life where I kick myself and say, how did I say that? Why did I do that? How did I think like that again? What am I doing going down that road? And, you know, we're all the same, but nobody's going to write a book about all our faults, in a sense. But we have a man called Lot. And I tell you, his life story, when you know your Bible, his life story is just rotten to the core. And it's just a filthy, filthy story from start to finish. And there's very little of good in it. You know, when you're talking about choices, I was trying to think of some good choices that he made, and there's not that many. You know, I'm sure he made some good choices, but most of his choices were poisoned by bad decisions that he had made earlier on. So what we're going to focus on tonight is we're going to look at Lot's choices. And, you know, when you look at Lot, you think of him as some kind of waster. You look at Abraham and you see Abraham as a hero. You know, Dan Eberle preached last night on Abraham the intercessor for Lot, and all that is good and all that is right and all that is true, and Abraham is the father of faith. And we look at Abraham and we have him way up here, we look at Lot and he's down in the gutter. But we're going to look at Lot in a different way tonight. I'm going to try to build Lot up a little bit, because his reputation is no good. All right? It's just no good. So, first point of the message tonight will be, how did a man who knew the Lord end up going so wrong? Because Lot just didn't go a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
Lot knew the Lord and went way wrong. Right. You know, he didn't just jaywalk. He didn't just, you know, drink too much coffee at night. He was just, he turned into one of the vilest men in the Bible. How did somebody that was saved, that knew God, that at one point worshipped God, who hung around with the father of the faith, end up going so wrong? And if he can go that wrong, how wrong could you and me go? And you might be sitting here and in a good church and under a good Abraham this week, but I tell you, maybe you go down 14 years down the road like Abraham did, how far wrong could you be? But you start making wrong choices today. So let's look at that. Look at Lot's influences. And I run the men's home, we all know that. And in the men's home, we do stuff like relapse prevention, we call it. And it focuses the guys on people, places and things that are going to be a hindrance to them in their life, that are going to be a problem in their life, that are going to bring them back to their old life of sin. And that's what I'm going to do a lot for my first point tonight. We're going to look at Lot's influences, and we're going to look at people, places and things in Lot's life. And the first person, or the people I want to focus on the most, are who was most influential to Lot in his life, and it was Abraham and Sarah. And I tell you, before we go tearing Lot up, and he's going to get torn up, and he has been torn up, before we tear Lot up for the choices that he made, we first need to take into account the influences in his life. We first have to take into account the poor examples that he had in his life. Because I tell you, when a kid goes wrong, who do we blame? You see a kid out in the street spray painting on the wall. What do you think? I wish his parents would get him in at night. Isn't that what you think? You see a girl walking down the street and she's 14 and she's wearing something that you would see in a strip club.
Right.
Not that you should be ever in a strip club, but you know what I'm talking about. And what do you think in your head? What's her father doing? Why doesn't her father or family do something about that?
Amen.
So you can't be thinking like that about people you see in Dublin and Cork and all over Ireland. And then when it comes to Lot, you look at Lot and you say, isn't he such a terrible guy? Well, let's rewind the clock back and let's look at the influences in his life. Well, I'm not trying to tear down Abraham in any way, but Abraham had many flaws, just like every other man, like Moses. We've done all the men in the Bible just about as we're going through a men's retreat. I'm sure we'll get there in the end. But Abraham was the major influence in his life. You know, when I was reading through the story over and over again, I've been putting this message together for a number of weeks now, going back to it, changing it, going back to it. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, how did he end up the way he ended up? And as I read it, I kept thinking to myself, I know Abraham was his uncle, but why did Abraham have this need in his life, no matter what was happening to Lot, to run after Lot, to put his life at risk for Lot, to keep going after him? And you know, when I was reading it, I was getting the sense, you know, maybe he feels kind of guilty. Maybe he feels guilty over the influence that he's had in Lot's life. Well, let's dissect, as we call it in RU, and define that for a little minute. You know, it was Abraham that went and saved Lot when he was taken captive in chapter 14 of Genesis. It was Abraham who pleaded for the Lord to save Lot when he was going to destroy Sodom with fireballs and from the sky. You know, I know he was his uncle, but there's just something more to it, I believe. You know, and Abraham is rightly the father of the faith. He's one of those heroes of the faith. But even the heroes of the faith didn't get it right all the time.
Right.
And you can get stuff 90% right, and you can get things 10% wrong. And with your 10% wrong in your testimony, you can destroy somebody else's faith.
Right.
You can ruin somebody else by your 10% not making it. And we can look at your life and, oh, he does right on 90% of the stuff he does, but it can be that 10% that's the thing that absolutely ruin somebody. You know, while we're talking about a testimony, how is your testimony? How is your testimony tonight? Do you have a testimony? When people see you, when people talk to you, do they know who you are? Do they recognize that you're saved, that you're different? Can they tell by the way you talk, by the way you act, that you're a Christian? Do you have a testimony? How do you walk before the people you live with? When you're at home and the door's closed and Pastor Ledbetter isn't there, how do you talk to your kids and how do you talk to your family? Are you the same on a Sunday morning in church in front of the people than you are at home and the door's closed? Or are you a lot angrier back at home? You know, how's your testimony with the people that know you most? Who and how are you influencing people right now? Who and how are you influencing people right now? Or are you influencing somebody? Everybody in here is influencing somebody. There's young people walking around and they're looking, you know, I gave a young African lad and his cousin a lift home from church last Friday night. And he says to me, what are all these men doing in the church? And I says, all them men go to our church. And he's like, they all go to church? And I'm like, yeah, they all go to church. And he's like, when you look at them, they all look real, like, bad and stuff like that. Talking about Ian and mostly guys. And he says, but they're not like that. And he was seeing God working on somebody's life. And he's like, I don't normally go to church and see lots of men in church. What's going on? And this is a 10-year-old or something like that, looking at what God's doing in men's lives and seeing these men have a testimony. You know, this morning, if you had seen the men singing, if you were here earlier, you had, I think it was 16 or so men up singing about Jesus, victory in Jesus, this morning. And that's a testimony.
Amen.
And it's great to have God working in somebody's life here. But see, when we get home, I'm going to hold all them men to the testimony that they're singing.
Yeah.
Victory in Jesus needs to be real, not just at men's retreat. It needs to be real back in the men's home.
Right.
Needs to be real when you leave the men's home.
Amen.
You know, don't just sing about it, live it. You know, how is your tongue for Jesus? Do you use it for Jesus? Or does Satan use it for his own devices? See, Lot's tongue ruined him. Absolutely ruined him. We'll look at that at the end of the message tonight. But Lot's tongue was just, the things his family heard him say and heard him do are shocking. And I don't know about you, but if you're old like me, nearly 34, if you're old like me, I can remember stuff that's been said to me from years and years gone by that's still very real in my life today. And when I think about the stuff, I get upset, I get annoyed because it's still there. We need to be so careful what we're actually saying, because what we're saying lasts. People don't forget. We need to be so careful. Look at Genesis 12 with me for a minute. Genesis 12. Looking at verse 13. You know, Abraham greatly affected Lot's frail faith. Okay? Abraham's lawyers greatly affected Lot's frail faith. You know, Lot was saved, but he was a baby. He was he was struggling with his own walk. He was struggling. And he went to Egypt with Abraham and Sarah and the rest of the gang. And this is what it says. This is what Lot heard and what Lot knew. This is Abraham. He says, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Basically, Abraham was asking his wife to lie on his behalf. Now remember, this is the father of the faith. This is the guy that we just sang about. And he's getting his wife to lie to the Egyptians and lie to people so he doesn't get killed.
Yep.
Where's God in that?
Not there.
Where's God in that? And if I go home and my little kids see me going out and we're out shopping or we're doing something and my kids see me tell lawyers or they see me tell my wife to tell lawyers for me, how does that affect them?
Yeah.
That's what happened with Lot. Lot was okay. Before this, Lot was following Abraham. He was going around with him. He was worshiping with him. He was following his God. He was following his lead. And he was doing what he should do. And Lot saw Abraham's hypocrisy in Egypt. He saw Sarah lying for him. And never underestimate how damaging your hypocrisy can be to those people that are watching your life. Because isn't that the big thing that people say, Christians, bunch of hypocrites? That's what they say. That's what they say. You know why they say that? Because often it's true. That's why they say it. You know, it's true. Because they're looking. They know you should live a certain way. And they see you living a different way. And they know it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. Because sometimes the lost person out there on the street knows more about how a Christian should live and talk than Christians seem to know and think. You know, if you ask somebody out there on the street, should a born-again Christian drink or smoke? What's the answer they say straight away?
No.
No way! But you ask some Christians, should Christians smoke or drink? Now to say, well, you know, we maybe, in moderation, you know, it's just a problem. It was a problem for Lot. It was a problem for him. Make sure no matter what it costs you that you keep your testimony before the Lord. You know, sometimes it's going to take you, it's going to be hard for you to keep your testimony. You know, you're going to want to go a certain way and God will want you to go a different way. You need to go with God all the time. You know, make sure no matter what the cost you keep your testimony. You know, after Lot seeing what went on in Sodom and what he's seen go on in Egypt. And Egypt is always in the Bible a picture of the world. In Egypt, they didn't live right. They didn't do right. And the influences that Lot had in his life are all because the guy he was following didn't trust God enough to provide for him where he was. He went running in the famine when he should have listened to what God wanted him to do. And Lot didn't make a decision to go to Egypt. He followed his leader, and his leader led him astray. And then we look at Lot's life later on, and he's in the gutter, and he's in Sodom, and we think, man, that guy is vile. Well, I know he made his own decisions, but I tell you, if the spray painter that's spray painting your wall down the road, it's his parents' responsibility for him, surely Abraham holds some responsibility for the way Lot ended up. And when you read the way it works out, and we'll do it in a minute, you can see Abraham seems to pander to Lot all the time. He seems to pander to him. You're going to see it. I think it's quite clear when you start reading it. So people, places, and things, Lot's influences, Abraham and Sarah weren't great influences, to be honest. Now, they were at times. They were wonderful influences. That's how he became a Christian. That's how he ended up being righteous Lot. But the reality is, after that, his faith was destroyed by what he saw, I believe. Then the next thing is places. And I already said it, he went to Egypt. He went to Egypt with Abraham. And do you know the places you go have a great impact on the type of person you end up? If you go to church and you go to men's retreat, you know how you're going to end up? It's going to be good for you. You're going to end up good. If you spend time going to wrong places, you're going to end up doing wrong things. Where you end up and the places you go has a great impact on you for the good and the bad. And Lot never made a decision to go to Egypt. He just followed Abraham. And normally following Abraham for Lot was a great thing. It was a faith-building exercise. It was uplifting. It was worshiping God. We looked at last night how many times Abraham built an altar. He built an altar. He built an altar. But I tell you, he wasn't building an altar when he was getting his wife to lie for him. That's the reality. But you know what? Lot seen all the building of the altars. But what do you think spoke to him more? Sending Sarah in to lie for him. Being caught up in the middle of that. Thinking to himself, because remember, he's just a young Christian. And he's thinking to himself, you know what? Why don't we just, you know, believe God? Why don't we just believe God? And then suddenly that starts getting deteriorating. It starts to drop. And isn't that like for a new Christian? They get saved and they can take on the world. Right. And then the Christians around them are looking, going, will you calm down? Will you just take it easy and relax?
Yeah.
You're getting too intense there. You don't know enough yet. We haven't broken you yet. We haven't broken your spirit yet. Yeah, I know, and we need to stay excited, we need to keep going the right way, but make sure, you know, that Lot, you know, there was a time in his life where he was following God. There was a time in his life where he did want to worship. There was a time in his life where he looked at Abraham, and he would have followed Abraham to the ends of the world. He would have stayed with Abraham for the rest of his life. But something changed. Lot changed. Abraham changed for a time. You know, Lot never made, you know, the decision to go to Egypt. He just ended up there because he was following somebody else. And, you know, make sure, you know, a good leader will always lead you to get plugged into a local church. He will always lead you to get plugged into what the church is doing. You know, but if a leader ever starts going from following the Lord, you need to just keep following the Lord, because the Lord will always keep you going to right places. And you can't be having faith in a man. You need to have faith in God and let God use men in your life. But the reality is, if the man in your life starts going off from what the Bible says, you need to keep following God.
Amen.
You don't go down with the man. You know, the other thing is people, places, and things. What are the things that influence Lot? Well, the possessions of the world. The possessions of the world. You know, Pastor Ledbetter said this morning, when Lot left with Abraham, he was skint. He was on the dole. He wasn't getting a penny. Like, he was just, he was out there. By the time he left Egypt, he was stinking rich. They walked out with pockets nearly, their trousers nearly falling down. There's that much gold in their pockets. Loads of animals, loads of cattle, everything was good. They were stinking rich. But it changed them. It changed his focus. It changed the way he saw the world. It changed the decisions that he was willing to make. Instead of following Abraham, now there was a question, well, what about my stuff? If I follow him, what about my things? What about my sheep? What about my cattle? What about my wife? You know, she's starting to get griping and complaining here. You know, look at verse 1 of Genesis 13 with me. You know, Lot saw Abraham take the wealth and the slaves out of Egypt, and it seemed like it didn't affect Abraham. Abraham was good, but it certainly affected Lot. Let's look at it. In verse 1, and Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Verse 3, and he went on his journeys from south, even to Bethel, onto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, onto the place of the altar which he had made there at the forest. This is really important. Listen to this. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. What's after Lord there? Full stop, okay? Full stop. Now let's look at the next verse. Verse 5. And Lot also went, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Okay? Now, can you see what's missing in verse 4? Abraham leaves Egypt and Abraham goes and worships. Lot's with Abraham, leaves Egypt, and Lot does nothing. Nothing. The full stop tells you it's a different train of thought. It's changing what it's saying. Listen, the reality is, after Egypt, Lot was changed. The place impacted Lot's life. The people that Abraham influenced his life there, but also his possessions changed him. Now he was possession-focused, self-focused, selfish. Worshiping didn't come into it. Money came into it. Possessions came into it. And worshiping God, he wasn't interested in that anymore. That ship had sailed for him. You know, praise God, Abraham, the father of the faith, he went and worshipped, but Lot never worshipped after that. You won't read about Lot doing anything good after that. You know, Lot had a shallow walk with the Lord, and it all got washed away when he went to Egypt. And sometimes you need to be careful about your influence around new Christians. You really need to be careful. Don't be a stumbling block to a new Christian. You know, you need to be so careful. And Lot was just, he was blown away. Just things were never the same for him. And how sad, because Lot had, you know, it seemed to be going good. I mean, if you had looked at Lot when he was walking around where Abraham and Abraham was going and building altars and they were worshipping together, you would have said, man, that guy has potential. You know, future prophet maybe. You know, who knows? You know, God can use him greatly. But I tell you, a short time in Egypt, a short time with the wrong influences, a short time focusing upon things Lot was no good to God and no good to anybody else. Matter of fact, it would have been probably better for everybody if Lot had died there. Because after that, there was no good that came from his life. His life was just useless. You know, when you leave the road of faith and you start to look at things, and when you leave the road of faith and you stop worshiping God and you leave the road of faith, and there's only two roads. There's a road of faith and there's a road of sight. And Lot certainly left the road of faith, and he only started to live his life through what he could see. And, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight, the Bible says. But when you're not walking by faith, you don't have any other choice about going around your life. You have to go on what looks good and what feels good. That's the way Lot lived his life from this point. Whatever looked good, whatever felt good, Lot done it. So let's look at Lot's choices, point two, if you're taking notes. The best decision Lot ever made was to get saved, was to trust God, was to worship God. And we know that he did because of what we have read. But we really don't read much about his faith. And I tell you, and this is true, and this will be true for you too, when your faith is not talked about much, it's normally because there's not much to talk about.
Sorry.
Okay, you want me to say that again? When your faith is not talked about much, it's because usually there's not much to talk about. We don't hear much about Lot's faith. We know he was because of... If we hadn't read the email that Peter sent out in the book of 2 Peter, we certainly wouldn't think Lot was a saved man. You wouldn't see it. If we didn't get that email through in our inboxes, we just wouldn't know it. Don't look there. Let me just read it. 2 Peter 2:7. You just stay where you are. 2 Peter 2:7 and 8. We read it earlier. And it says this. It says, and the liver just Lot vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, Lot's choices in his early days shaped the man he would become later on. But you need to know, a bad start doesn't have to mean that you have a bad future, that you ruin your future. Never let your past or your upbringing dictate where you go and where you end up. You have to stop the rot in your life. If you've had a bad start, you're still responsible for where you end up.
Amen.
Lot was still responsible for where he ended up, no matter what the influences were in his life. And you are too. You know, the problem is, when we have a bad start, we don't often make good choices. You know, don't let your past dictate your future. Repent, trust the Lord, depend on him for his grace and for the victory in your life. And whatever he asks you to do, be willing to do it. You know, but the question needs to come in your life. What's in your life right now that's stopping you moving forward for God? What is in your life that's a block for you? We know for Lot it was possessions. We know for Lot it was because, you know, he was in the wrong place. He had some wrong people around him. But then it came to being possessions. Is there anything in your life tonight that you would know in your life? You know what? This is something God's been dealing with me on. I've been needing to get victory over it. I haven't been successful about getting victory over it. I need to put more effort into it. And if you do, that's something that you need to be on your hands and knees about. Because if you don't make decisions for it, years go by with you still in defeat, popping your head up in faith now and again, but going back into defeat all the time. You need to learn to have a consistent walk. You need to learn to have a consistent relationship with God. And it's all about the choices you're going to be willing to make for God. Some choices that you're going to make are extremely hard and can be extremely costly, but they're essential if you're going to win the war in your life. In the Second World War, Winston Churchill was forced to make a painful choice. The British Secret Service had broken the Nazi Enigma code, and they informed Churchill that the Germans were going to bomb Coventry. He had two alternatives. One, he could evacuate the citizens and save hundreds of lives at the expense of letting the Germans know that the code is broken, or he could take no action. He could let the German bombs fall on Coventry without warning them, but save many more lives in doing so. Churchill chose the second choice. He chose the second choice even though it was a hard choice to make, and 198 tons of bombs fell on Coventry at that point, and 176 people died, And 680 people, they say, were injured in that famine. He had a choice to make. Either way was a loser. But he chose what he felt was the greater good. In your life, you need to choose, even though it's going to cost you, you need to choose what's the greater good. You know, some choices that we need to make are going to have great consequences. You might lose family. You might lose friends that you spend time with. You might lose a job. You might lose, things in your life. But at least you'll keep your testimony. At least you'll be keeping God happy with what you're doing rather than putting everything else before your relationship with God. You know, God's glory and the greater good is sometimes what you need to make your choice over and just focus on that. When it came to Lot making his choices, he just didn't do a good job. You know, it was just one bad decision after another after another after another. And you know what? Even though I read Abraham and Abraham rescued him, I don't read too much pleading. And Abraham might have done, but I don't read too much pleading with Lot. I don't read somebody grabbing Lot by the collars and saying, "Lot, we need to get out of here. Come live with us." We see it a little bit after he gets rescued, but he ends up going back. He ends up going back. And it's just such a sad story. When the bickering starts over what? So many arguments start over money, doesn't it? So many arguments start over money. Well, let me tell you, no different here. Yeah, the bickering, when somebody's arguing, Lot and Abraham were arguing, and, you know, their men were arguing, and it seems like Abraham just comes in and says, "Okay, let's separate. You know, there's lots of land. You go that way, and I'll go this way, blah, blah, blah," whatever it worked out as. But I tell you, when Abraham was coming down to Lot, Lot was no longer the little guy who was doting on Abraham and following him around. Lot was his own man now. Lot was making his own decisions now. And Lot wanted the land. Lot wanted his possessions. And when I'm reading it, I read it like, he's sick and tired of listening to Abraham and having to follow Abraham around. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because when Abraham made the suggestion to break up, not one time do you read Lot saying, "No way, let's stay together, let's work it out. Listen, if it takes it, I'll get rid of some of my stuff." Amen. Doesn't say anything like that. Not one time does he try to fix things. "Let's separate. No problem. Good. Been thinking about saying that for a while." And he leaves it there. And I tell you, when Lot was making choices, they were just bad choices. Because he had a strong sense of entitlement. He was stuck with pride and anger. And he didn't ask for advice. He didn't ask for advice. You know why he didn't ask for advice? It's the same reason why you don't ask for advice. It's the same reason why I don't ask for advice when I'm not wanting it. If I was wanting advice, I'd ask for it. The reason why we don't is because we're not wanting it. We're wanting to make our own choices, live our own lives, do our own thing, and hopefully it works out. That's not God's way, by the way. God wants you to be seeking counsel, wants you to be seeking advice. But Lot chose to put cash before his Christianity. Lot chose to watch his pocket more than his preacher. Lot was more interested in gold than God. Lot was more interested in cattle than his children. Lot was more interested in his fortune than his family. And he made some terrible choices. But one of those choices was to go to Sodom. And that was a whopper of a choice. I tell you, he just stepped the ball game up at that point. He just stepped the ball game. Everybody knew about Sodom. Everybody knew about Sodom. That's the main reason people went to Sodom. You know what I've heard? People going to Amsterdam for weekends and stuff like that. Men going to Amsterdam for stag nights and stuff like that. Let me tell you, men only go to Amsterdam for one reason. It's to do drugs and for women. That's why they go there. Okay? That's the reality. There's nothing good in certain places. You shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be an option. And don't kid yourself on that you're going there because you like Ajax football team or something like that. That's not why people are going. You know, Lot made some terrible choices, but Sodom was a big one. Look at verse 10. And familiar verses, all know it. I wasn't going to preach on this because I wanted to do it from a different angle. But Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, even thou comest unto Zoar. Verse 11, and Lot shows him the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. You know what? It appeared to be a sound business decision, but it was a poor moral decision. Okay? It looked good to Lot. It seemed like the right thing to do. You couldn't convince him it was the wrong thing to do because it looked right. Couldn't convince some people that she's the wrong type of woman because she looks right. Let me tell you, not all things that look good are good. Okay? Not all things that look good. That's how fish get caught, you know. That's how fish get caught. That's just the way it is. Look at verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. In other words, they're really stinking bad, right? These guys are bad, okay? And understand this about Lot. He who chooses the beginning of the road chooses the path it leads to. It is the means that determine, it's the means that determine the end. Choosing right does not come naturally. It must be taught. Lot never really had to make decisions. And this is a problem. And you need to remember this with your children and with the men in the men's home and with your people in your church. You have to let people make decisions. Okay, you have to let them make decisions. Because in the real world, they're going to have to make decisions at some point. And if you don't train them to make right decisions, and right decisions under pressure, when they get the options and they're under pressure, they'll make wrong decisions. You have to let people make decisions. Abraham never consulted Lot. Abraham done his own thing, and Lot just followed along. When it came to Lot making choices for himself, he just didn't make good ones. When we study Lot's life, we're going to find out he doesn't make any really good choices rather than worshiping God. But when we see him coming to separating from Abraham, we see not only Lot's foolishness, but we see Abraham's failures. They're both brought to light at that situation. I want you to look there. Look at verse 8 of chapter 13. So, I think that Abraham knew the effect of his sinful actions had on Lot in the past, and he spent the rest of his days pandering to him. You know, ask yourself this, why didn't Abraham choose? It was his choice. Why didn't he choose? Look at verse 8. Remember, when I read this, I read Abraham pandering to Lot. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. It was Abraham's decision. It was Abraham's decision. He wasn't willing to make a decision at that point. And you can say, well, he was just given Lot, you know, the option. He shouldn't have given Lot the option. Lot didn't deserve the option. Lot wasn't in a position to make that choice for himself at that point. You know what Lot really needed? He needed Abraham to put his arm around him and say, listen, we're just going to have to work this out. Things are going wrong, but we need to make things go right. And if you go down there, you're going to ruin yourself. Let's both go here for a time until you get restored and built up, and then we'll move on somewhere else. Then we can separate and it'll be good. But no, it wasn't like that. Oh, when I'm reading, I read Abraham pandering to Lot because I believe he was guilty because of the way Lot turned out. If Abraham hadn't went to Egypt and got Lot involved in all the world that he got him involved in Egypt, and let Lot hear him ruin his testimony in Egypt, and him knowing that Abraham walked out and Abraham got right and Abraham started worshipping God and everything was good for Abraham, but Lot never did. He never made it out. He's still in Egypt in his mind. He's still in the world in his mind and he can't get out of it. And even when it comes to this situation, we don't see Abraham pleading with Lot to stay with him. Abraham has probably come to the place and at this point, he's happy to see him go. Because Lot's a worldly guy at this point. Lot just sees things the way he wants them and he's selfish, he's worldly. And I can understand Abraham saying, listen, I'm up to my neck with it. You go that way, I'll go that way, or you go that way and I'll go that way. But can you see that doesn't help Lot? That does not help Lot. Lot didn't need that at that point. But Lot made his own decision because he didn't go to the right hand or to the left hand. He went straight ahead. He went straight ahead and it ruined him. And the decisions that we make, sometimes they're small, insignificant, and other times they are drastic and they're life-changing. And sometimes we don't realize it's going to be such a big decision until later on. You know, look at turn over to chapter 12 for a minute. You know, Abraham is such a godly influence in his life, and Lot needed Abraham, I believe. You know, he needed him. But I also see Lot making his own choices, and I see a man, and I read about a man, and I'm thinking about him, and I'm thinking, this guy, he didn't want to be around Abraham anymore. He wanted to get away from him. He wanted to separate himself from him. And you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of the prodigal son. And when I was thinking a lot, that's what kept coming to my mind. He's very like the prodigal. The prodigal is in his father's house. He is blessed. Everything's good. There's lots of bounty. They have servants. They have good food. Everything's going well. But there's something inside him that wants something different. He wants to go to a far country. He doesn't realize how much it's going to cost him. Yeah. But he wants to get away. You know, Pastor, because he just doesn't like the father's rules.
Right.
The father's too religious for him. Wants him to go to church on a Wednesday and a Sunday. Wants him to go to RU on a Friday night. You know, the prodigal son's father won't let women come home and stay in the house. He won't let them drink in the house. He won't let them stay out late. And he's putting all these rules in his life. He makes him do his homework after school. You know, the prodigal just doesn't like the rules that he's having to live in. And you know what? Living with Abraham when Abraham is walking with God. You know what? If you're not right with God and you're around somebody walking with God, you know how you feel? Rotten. Because their righteousness and their holy living grates on you. Isn't that true? You know? And that's why people stop coming out to church when they're in sin. That's why they do. Because they're uncomfortable when they come around the church and the people in the church. That's why they stop coming. Why do you think Lot wanted to get away from Abraham? And he did. Because he was uncomfortable being around the man of God. They were going different ways. They were separating themselves. They were probably separated from each other for a good while before this happened, you know. Look at verse 12. Sorry, chapter 12, verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when they departed out of Haran. Understand that Abraham and Lot, they had a good relationship at one point. They had like a father and son relationship at one point. Like, Abraham was, we know Abraham had his son and he was the main focus and all that kind of stuff, but Lot was always there in the background growing up. You know, Lot's father died and his grandfather took Lot in. Lot was nearly brothers with Abraham in a sense, or like a brother to him. And the relationship wasn't always bad. You know, when Abraham and Lot were getting on, when Lot was doing well, Lot loved to be around Abraham. And everything that Abraham said, Lot thought was right. Everywhere Abraham went, Lot thought was right. But Lot's changed. Lot's different. And when you get to the place where you don't think you need an authority in your life, and you don't think you need to be under a church anymore, you're going to be in trouble. When you have the attitude that I can go it alone, I can do a better job, because that's the attitude Lot had. Lot thought to himself, you know what, I don't need Abraham. I have my own stuff I got with my own hands in Egypt, and I can look after myself. And he was thinking of getting more and more. And Abraham saying, listen, this isn't working, we're going to separate. And it wasn't working. You know, Lot had the responsibility of making choices that really were not his to make, but he made them, and he's responsible for them. You know, he even through carnal eyes, when he was making his choices, you know, he had experience living in Egypt. He was blessed in Egypt, it looked like, on the outside. He was made rich coming from Egypt, and everything looked good. And in verse 10 of chapter 13, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. But it wasn't the only thing that Lot saw when he lifted up his eyes. It wasn't the only thing. He saw money. He saw Sodom. And let me tell you, he saw Sodom. He could smell the cigarette smoke coming from Sodom. At night when he had his tent pitched at Sodom, you know what he could see? He could see the lights in the city. They were calling him. Because he'd lived in Egypt. He'd been in some wild places in Egypt before. And he liked the way that felt. And he got closer and closer and closer to Sodom. But if you had asked him the day he was separating from Sodom, from Abraham, do you ever think you'll end up living in Sodom? He would have said, no way, I wouldn't live down there. They're all stinking sinners. But I tell you, over time, with the lights and the draw of the world, let me tell you, it was enticing him and drawing him in. You know, at night he could sometimes hear in the breeze the music coming from Sodom. He could see it. When caravans would be coming out of Sodom and people would be going in, oh, they always seemed happy. They were always at the coming out after having a party. They were always well dressed. When he looked at the people from Sodom, he desired to be like them. He desired to be one of them. He became one of them. Matter of fact, he wanted to be the leader of Sodom in the end. Let me tell you, sin always starts off in your heart. And it always leads you somewhere you don't want to go. And let me tell you, for Lot, he just thought about money, and that was what the devil used to get him where he was, and he was just drawn in. And you know, God wasn't even a consideration to Lot. It didn't come into it at all. There was no, hang on, I'll pray about this, this mightn't be a good idea. There was no, hang on, I'll ask Abraham what he thinks about me going down to Sodom. It was, I'll be okay. I know enough now, I'm able to handle it. You know, Egypt, it was just like Egypt. When Lot was in Egypt, he got the taste for worldly living. When he went down to Sodom, it was just like Egypt. It was worldly, it was sensual, it was sexual. Everything about it just dripped of sin and dripped of vileness against God. It was exceedingly wicked, the Bible says. There was no prophet in the place. There was no place where God was worshipped. There was no people to fellowship with in Sodom. He never should have gone to Sodom. He never should have gone to Sodom. You know, there wasn't one person that could be found in the city that was serving God. You know, God wasn't interested in Lot being there at all. God didn't want Lot there. He just wanted good land. He just wanted more money. He just wanted his eyes to be satisfied. He wanted the things of Egypt that he had got a taste for. You know, does Abraham make a suggestion for Lot, to say no to Lot? No, we don't read that. And when Lot made the decision to be pitch his tent towards Sodom, it seems like a small thing. If you stop reading there, you think, okay, so we didn't choose what Abraham said, but it's not a big deal. But I tell you, years later, it was such a big deal. It was such a big deal. See, making a decision to go from being in a church where God is worshipped to going to a place where there's no good church, where there's no preacher preaching, where you go to a church and it's, you know, everything feels good. People may be well dressed. You can hear their music. And often you can smell their cigarette smoke. But the reality is, it's just like Sodom. It's worldly, it's sensual. And it's just not good for you. And Lot needed Abraham more than he realized. He wanted to separate himself from Abraham. He needed to get on his hands and knees to Abraham and say, Abraham, my life has been blessed being around you, been around your preaching, been around your prayers. Everything I have is because I've had a relationship with you and a relationship with God. And I don't want things to end. But he had changed. You make sure you never change. Never, never leave your church. Never leave your preacher. Never leave the place where you should be because it's so short-sighted. You know, he just wanted good land. He just wanted to get away from Abraham. You know, he just wanted to make his own choices. But it cost him greatly. He never thought how much it was going to cost, but it cost him his whole family down the road. He was just thinking of how it looked and it felt today. And the Bible says, Proverbs 20:17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Tastes good today. How is it going to affect you tomorrow? Tomorrow, that's a real Dublin word, isn't it? Tomorrow. You know, it seemed good at the start. And doesn't choosing sin feel good at the start?
Yeah.
And if it didn't, we wouldn't do it. Of course it feels good at the start. There's a pleasure in sin for a season, the Bible says. Don't make bad choices, because that's the choices start off bad, they end up big. We have a principle, nor are you, on the Friday night. Principle number 5, does anybody know it? That's right. Small compromises lead to great disasters. Small compromises lead to great disasters. If you'd learned that truth this week, it would really help you. You know, when the wickedness of Sodom first appeared to Lot, and Lot looked across the plain, Lot should have said no. Right then and there, he should have said no. He should have said, I'm not going to do this. He should have said, I'm going to get myself out of here. You know, the first time he saw, you know, two queers walking down the road holding hands in Sodom, he should have ran out of that town. First time he saw two of them doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, he should have been out of there. He should have been going over, tearing the two of them apart. The reality is, he wasn't. He was part of it. 19 verse 3 says this, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him. Now, this is the story. This is the bit in it where the angels have camped to Sodom, and Lot's standing there with them, and Lot's trying to tell them to leave and get out of town. See, he has some morals, you know. Not many, but he has some. And he's trying to get these angels to get out of town, and the angels won't go. They're going to sleep on the streets. And Lot presses upon them greatly, the Bible says. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's coming next. How does he know it? Because he's seen it over and over and over again. He's seen strange men come into the town for a holiday or passing through, and them same men have never been seen again. He's heard the stories. He's heard the screams from his house. Let me tell you, Lot has turned a deaf ear and a blind eye to what's going on around him every single day. Desensitized to what's going on. Just like us.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
We have been desensitized to sexuality. We've been desensitized to the world. What things that should be wicked and vile to us have become normal. And we complain about it when we read the story. We say, that's terrible. But what do we do about it?
Nothing.
Terrible. Because somebody else is going to do something. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will go into town and pick it for at the pro-life campaign. Somebody else will go when there's a meeting like that on outside the Dáil. And they go on all the time and we don't do much about it. If we don't do something about it, who is going to? If Lot wouldn't do something about it for his family's sake, who's going to do it? We're expecting somebody else. The fella that's not in the chair next to you is never going to do anything. You have to do it. Otherwise it won't get done. I'm nearly finished. I have one more point. You know, when Lot, you know, there must have been moments in Lot's life where he looked at the situation he'd gotten himself into and he thought to himself, you know what, I need to get out of here. There must have been times. Because he had that sense to try to save the two visitors. There was still something inside him. And no matter how backslidden a Christian is, still at times God prompts them to do stuff. And, you know, that's the way it was with Lot. He was still guilty about some of the stuff. It didn't often change him, but he took them two men home to try to save them, try to rescue them. But he didn't save them, in a sense. They didn't need saving. They were sent from God. They were there to basically save Lot.
Yeah.
Lot was trying to rescue them, and they were trying to rescue Lot. It was a bit of a problem. Nobody knew what they were doing. You know, when you're caught in sin, the way Lot's caught in sin, and you're involved in it, and you're stuck in it, and you've been doing it for a while, and maybe nobody knows, and it's a secret sin, it's a sin in your thought life, it's a sin on your computer, it's a sin with your eyes. You need to stop. You need to stop and get to the place where we would expect Lot to and run out of Sodom. Lot should have ran out of Sodom. He should have got out of town quick. Don't linger in your sin. The devil will want you to just sit there and think about it. Should I go? Should I do this or should I not? The devil wants you considering whether you should stop doing something or not. God wants you to flee.
Amen.
Always flee. That should be our first response. Get away from it. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be around this. The devil wants you to sit, to linger, to think about it, to stand there and think about it. The Bible says that Lot, about Lot in 2 Peter, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or lifestyle of the wicked. There were times in his life where he was just vexed by it. He hated it at times. But he still lived there. Because the money was good. He still lived there. He put up with a lot because the money was good. Sometimes you're watching a DVD. One more course where I'm going to turn this thing off. One more. And it's over here. Another one. I just want to see what happens here.
Come on.
Sure, it's near the end. And many have you listened to it by the time it's done.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You need to flee. When you sit there and think about it and think about it and reason about it, you're going to end up in trouble. Let's quickly look at Lot's fruit. He was, you know, he had lots of fruit from his bad choices, and I wonder what the fruit in your life has been from your bad choices. I know for me, I've lost a chunk of my life because of bad choices.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Pastor got me to preach this one. I don't know. But listen, what's the fruit of your choices right now? What's the fruit of you saying no to God this week about whatever the thing is in your life, and nobody knows what it is but you? What's going to be the fruit of that by next year at next men's retreat? What's the fruit of it? Are you going to be here next year if you don't change your life? Probably not. Probably not. You need to change this week. You're getting ample opportunity to change. Lot's fruit. Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Lot knew that within 24 hours, God was going to destroy Sodom and every person in it. Suddenly, fearing for their lives, he goes out and he tries to go and talk to his sons-in-law about God's judgment that's coming. But you know what? It's far too late. It's far too late for them. You know why? Because Lot's actions in his life in Sodom silenced the words of his mouth in their ears. No matter what he said to them, they couldn't hear what he was saying. They thought it was a joke. You know why they thought it was a joke? Because he was a joke. Because his Christianity was a joke. Because to Lot, his God was a joke. He didn't believe what he was saying. He was just in it, and they just mocked him, the Bible says. Look at chapter 19, verse 14. We really are nearly done. I know the ice cream's probably melting or whatever, but it can melt. We're talking about Sodom, it can melt. Verse 14. And Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, that's another problem, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Can you imagine having so little respect and influence on your own family because of the choices that you've made? Lot was a sham of a Christian. His fake Christianity didn't impact anyone around him. He was a two-faced, double-minded fake and a failure as a Christian, and ruined his family because of the choices that he had made. He absolutely ruined them. He was a total failure. Look at verse 3. And we read it a few minutes ago. And Lot pressed upon them greatly. He was still trying to hide the sin of Sodom with the two angels. He didn't know they were angels. He just thought they were two visitors. He was still trying to hide the sin of Sodom with these two men. He's saying, oh no, you don't stay here, get out of town. And then they're not getting out of town. He's like, okay, you better come back with me. Now look at this. This is ridiculous. And I see people doing this all the time. Let's read the rest of the verse. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake. What's the next word?
Unleavened
bread. And they did eat. Can anybody tell me what unleavened bread is a picture of the Bible? Unleavened bread is a picture of, it's free from sin. Leaven is a picture of sin. That's basically bringing them in. He's having a little worship time with them, a little prayer meeting with them. He's having some unleavened bread. He's still faking it as a Christian. He's still trying to fake his spirituality with these people and the two angels. They know better. They're there to rescue him. He's making unleavened bread as if everything's okay. Then there's a big bang on the door.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, there's a big bang on the door, and Lot knows who it is. Lot can hear them outside the door. He knows exactly who's Kemp calling.
Yeah.
They're all surrounding the house. They're all banging. They're all looking in the window, trying to get a look at the two men that they're trying to get to. Foaming at the mouth, trying to get into them. They weren't looking to sign their Bibles and have a good time with them, go sing hallelujah with them. They were looking to know them. To know them is the same word that's used when it says that Adam knew Eve and she bare him a son. That's the same know. And they were banging on the door. And you know what Lot does? Lot does what every spiritual fella does when a preacher or somebody comes knocking on the door. He opens the door, he walks out, and he closes the door behind him. Why did he close the door behind him? Because he didn't want who was inside to hear what was going on outside, because he knew what was going to be going on outside.
Right.
So in the past, I phoned your phone. You know what you do with the TV? Mute. Isn't that right? Come on. You know it's true. And the reality is, or your phone starts going off and you have the wrong ringtone on it for church.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a killer, isn't it? Killer. It's not a killer if you don't have the wrong ringtones on it during the week. Only if you have the wrong one on a Sunday. Lot goes out of the house, he closes the door. But do you know what? If there's a banging on the door and somebody walks outside the door, what does everybody in the house do? Of course they go to the door to find out what's going on. And listen, back then they didn't have sliding patio doors back then, just in case you didn't know that. Had a little wooden door that was closed. Do you know Lot's whole family heard every single word that he said? Every single word. Do you know who was in the house? Two angels. Lot's wife. Lot's two daughters. Can you imagine how Lot's two daughters felt hearing their own father out of his own lips offering a gang of gang rapists his two virgin daughters to do what was right in their eyes, knowing who these men were? How far has this man fallen from worshipping God after the influences that he's had in his life for the good? Well, Abraham. The many times he's helped Abraham build altars. The many times he's helped Abraham and held the animal while Abraham was sacrificing the animal. The many times he's seen God answering Abraham's prayers and Abraham walking with God. And still he gets to this place. And the men, what do they try to do? They try to push him out away. They don't want his daughters. They'll probably take them anyway. But they're wanting the two men. And they're trying to get in. And the angels do what? They blind them. The Bible says that even the men, after being blinded, they were still trying to find their way in. Okay? The angels tell Lot, we need to get out of this place. Lot doesn't get out of the place. The Bible says that he lingers. He lingers. His two daughters are with him. Look at verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. The Lord being merciful unto somebody like that. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Let me tell you, here we have somebody who knows the judgment that's coming. He knows what's happening. God has told him the angels are here to rescue him. They see the gang rapists outside his house getting blinded. And he's still lingering. You know why? Because everything inside him, he's a sodomite inside. He is there with them. He's more comfortable being there than leaving.
Right.
And the angels try to get him out. And you know, the angels try to get him out and he doesn't want to go. I want you to think for a minute. How do you think Lot felt after he had got out and all the stuff had happened, his wife was dead? How do you think he felt waking up with a hangover after getting his two daughters pregnant? How do you think that's what happened at the end of the story? See, it just gets worse and worse and more vile and more vile. He ends up getting his two daughters pregnant after getting drunk. And he said, and I know the story. I know what you're thinking in your head. Well, they got him drunk. No, he drank the stuff. He drank the stuff. Let me tell you. I know what he's doing and understand I hate drinking. I hate alcohol. And Lot, no matter what the reasons why he was taking that alcohol on board, he was taking her on board. He was out of control. But do you know that Lot was responsible for getting his two daughters pregnant?
Right.
He made the choices to go the way of Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He took a job in Sodom. He let his daughters marry the men of Sodom. He offered his other daughters to the gang outside his house. He didn't get his family out of Sodom when he could have. He lingered because he didn't want to give up the sensual city living. He just wanted a little bit of sin. Look at verse 20. And behold now, the city is near to flee onto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. It's just a little one, and my soul shall live. Let me tell you, even though they were trying to get him out to a cave, he didn't want to go to the cave. He pleaded with them to let him go to a little city. You know what? Well, God wants to break you free of everything. He doesn't want you trying to hang on to that little thing. It's that little thing that will ruin your life. Small compromises lead to great disasters. Even at the end, he wanted that little thing. Seeing his wife after dying. His whole family are dying. Everything's gone. His life is ruined. And he's still trying to hold on to the world. Let me tell you, the world will ruin everyone in here. It will ruin me. It will ruin you if you let it. Behold now, the city is near. Let us flee. And it is a little one. Let me tell you, small compromises will always ruin your life. Choices. The choices you make tonight, the choices you make in men's retreat, they shape your life. You can go home as high as a kite on God this week. Changed, making decisions for God, transformed in your thinking, renewed in your mind, encouraged, trained, discipled. You're learning lots of verses, learning lots about God, learning what not to do like Lot. But I tell you, there's three people sitting in the room tonight. There's the person you are tonight. There's the person that God could cause you to be. And there's the person evil could cause you to be. What type of person are you going to be? You going to make the same choices that Lot made? You going to keep chasing the world? Chasing the things of the world? Chasing the women of the world? Chasing the possessions of the world? Or are you going to stop yourself and you're going to say, no. I need to stop this. I need to follow after God. Follow after the man of God. Make decisions based on what God would want me to do rather than what I can see as good. Let me tell you, Lot destroyed his family. You know, not only his family, his two sons that came from getting his two daughters pregnant in the cave. The two babies that they had, their babies were called Moab and Amnon. The Moabites and the Ammonites both came from Lot. Do you know when you read the rest of your Bible, the children of Israel, God's children, again and again and again, you know who they had to fight? The Moabites, the Ammonites, and you know whose fault it was? Lot. Don't be a Lot. Don't be a Lot. Turn things around. Get out of Egypt and start worshipping God the way Abraham did. Both had the same experiences in Egypt. One got restored and one went on for God. The other one just kept sinking in sin.